When you think of the city of Bentonville, probably a number of things come to mind. Walmart, for one, Crystal Bridges. Yeah. You have a growing culture around bicycling. But there's another aspect to the city that's generating buzz. It has to do with aviation. And of course, everything going on at the municipal airport, also known as Thayden Field. We're going to try to catch up on the developments at the airport and what's driving them on this week's edition of the Know the News podcast. Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Porozik, your host this week of Know the News, production of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette Newsroom. I want to start by introducing my two guests today. We have Will Gunzelman. Will is the manager at Summit Aviation, which is the fixed base operator at Bentonville's airport. Will, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also here with us is Mike Jones. He's the reporter who covers the city of Bentonville for us here at the Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Mike, let's start with you. You have a story that we plan to publish this weekend all about the airport. Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration for this story? Why you did it, how it got off the ground, pun intended.
Just through the years of covering the city of Bentonville, like you mentioned, there are so many other things that you might think about if you're the average person or in the city or someone who comes to town. And maybe the airport is not the first thing on your mind, but Bentonville has really carved out an example of what it wants the airport. Bentonville officials have really carved out an example of what they want the airport to be, and it's just there are so many airports around here, small airports around here. I think every big city has one. Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers. We have Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport. Palm Springs has an airport. They all rely on different factors that make them successful. And Bentonville has the Bentonville Municipal Airport, Thayden Field, has just centered around the uniqueness of its operation, be it what Summit Aviation is doing, the setup with Fly Oz. The number of people that are flying into town on the weekends to see the sights downtown, the number of people that are flying in with their bikes and hitting the trails, and just business flyers as well. And it's not a typical airport. That's the vision that I think the airport has. And I think Will speak to that, is that it's unique in its own right, and it's really taken off.
You've lived and/or worked in Bentonville for quite a while, right? So
Oh yeah, more than 20 years.
I'm guessing. So have you noticed how the airport has evolved over those years?
I think there might have been times years ago where you might have passed by the airport and wondered if what it was. But now, I think when Thayden Field House opened up in 2018, that was a huge change. I think some of my more recent coverage, centered around a goose problem at the airport and the search for a goose dog, which the city has procured, named Maverick, that's been really successful out there. But when you go out there, it's just not like any airport you've been in before, big or small. I mean, when you walk through the doors, you see a gift shop, and you can walk right to the window and see the planes. There's Louise, the restaurant. And I think the city has done a great job of marketing the airport. Maybe that wasn't the case before, and maybe the vision wasn't as clear as it is now. But I think with how it's going now and where Bentonville has positioned itself, I think makes for a really successful product out at the airport.
Since you referenced the goose problem, for those who aren't familiar, could you talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. Bentonville, the airport had a problem a couple of years ago with geese that would get on the runway. And bird strikes are a major concern at airports. The geese, the city had studied various options, noise, things like that, and that just didn't really seem to move the geese. And the only thing that will move them, as I think maybe Will would say, is a goose dog. And the city worked with a company in North Carolina and got a dog that the city had a naming contest for that they named Maverick, and Maverick is all over the airport. Probably one of the most well known things out there would be the goose dog.
And so, Will, for those who aren't very airport savvy, could you describe what it is you do at Summit Aviation as the airport's fixed base operator?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been here 11 years as the FBO manager at Fabian Field. And a fixed base operator typically sells fuel. They offer long-term and short-term hangarage, tie-downs. As Mike said, we're kind of a different FBO in a lot of ways. We have a maintenance facility, a flight school. We offer aircraft rental. We have a flying club. We have a restaurant. We have a testing center. We offer courtesy cars. So we do a lot more than a typical FBO, but
if you want to play a clip now and get your response to it, Mike taped an interview a while back with Brian Baldwin, who is president of the Airport Advisory Board, who has quite a bit of experience on the board. And in this clip, Brian shares his perspective on what makes the airport unique and how the city and airport board have tried to capitalize on that. It's about a 2-minute clip. I'll play it for you now.
Do you think that right now the uniqueness is being achieved with the people that are maybe coming in on a weekend to view Crystal Bridges? Maybe they're not from here, or maybe they're flying half. This is a halfway stop, and they get out and say, "Hey, let's go to downtown. We've heard about this place, Lake Bentonville. You know, people can just rent a kayak or fish and watch planes take off." I mean, do you think the uniqueness is being achieved every day?
100%. It is, and it's over time it's being marketed the right way. Mm-hmm. You have Visit Bentonville that works kind of hand in hand with the airport team, with the Summit group, that says, okay, how can we attract it back to the events that we've hosted. We hosted what's called the Up Summit, which mm-hmm. is the, if you're familiar, I won't mm-hmm. explain. We've hosted several different types of aircraft owners clubs. Mm-hmm. Like we had the Cessna Citation group in a couple of 3 years ago, where they brought 10 or 12 of their planes in for their annual meeting. We've had AOPA here, which is the largest, the single largest publication and government influence for general aviation, single largest advocacy group for general aviation. Those people have all visited here mm-hmm. because when you get here, there's a lot more than just an airstrip.
Sure.
And there's a lot more than just this wonderful restaurant and a beautiful facility. You've got Crystal Bridges, downtown hotels, like all of the stuff that we get to enjoy. So absolutely, I think we are, I can never say maximizing because there's more work to be done, but I think we are, as a city, we are reaping the benefits of the seeds that we sowed starting when that that building opened over there. And the expansions that we've done to the airport to make it, we're going to do a widening of the runway to make it even safer. We've put parallel taxiways in that make it easier to get airplanes on and off. The more time you spend on an active runway, the higher the chance you have of an incident. To get people off of a taxi, off of the airport onto a taxi where you can parallel back and cross over if you need to, you've just eliminated another 10 or 15 seconds of downtime where that airport is not, or that runway is not usable for anybody other than the aircraft on it.
Again, that's Ryan Baldwin, president of the Bentonville Airport Advisory Board. Will, I want to ask you to respond to what you heard there and tell us what you think makes this a special or unique airport. How would you describe it for our listeners?
Yeah, I think Brian's dead on and everything that he said. We do have a beautiful facility, and everything was built very intentionally here at the field house. So when you park in the parking lot, if you're coming to eat at the restaurant, that you, if you've never been to this airport, you have to walk through aviation and become immersed in it. You have to walk through a beautiful exhibit hangar that we will showcase vintage warbirds or backcountry planes. You come through our retail area and you could buy anything from oil to an aircraft or foreign aircraft to a Fly Oz hat. And then you go to this amazing restaurant that you're 20 feet from an active ramp and, can see a girl up testing the fuel quantity in a wing and ask questions to the wait staff of what's going on. And everything becomes kind of real for whether it's a kid or somebody's older, it becomes something that's obtainable. You stop by the front desk and buy a scenic flight or discovery flight. And you know, you're kind of hooked. And I think that's why, this airport is succeeding, is because everybody's welcome. Everybody's inviting. Our staff is extremely knowledgeable. The majority of our staff are pilots. You know, the amazing Osage Park to the north, we offer canoe rentals and e-bike rentals as well through our FBO. So the whole airport is thriving, and really excited about what the future is going to bring.
You have some improvements that are going on there. Have been going on with the runway and stuff like that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the past projects that we've had, we built Taxiway Alpha and Bravo that run parallel to the runway. We widen the runway on both ends. What we call them turnarounds on both ends. We lengthen the runway, Osage Park again. And like Brian spoke about, Robin and Maverick have been a huge asset to the field.
I think Mr. Baldwin also talked about precision approach path indicators. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, it's going to help with transient aircraft coming in to make their approach safer. It'll help with our flight training as well. So we're really looking forward to that. Some of the future projects are widening the runway. We're going to, with the help of the city, upgrade our fuel farm, and you'll see hangars being built along the west side of the airport as well.
Will, this is Mike. I have a question for you as well. Would you kind of describe, you know, the airport doesn't have a tower. So could you, without getting too far in into the weeds, explain maybe how Razorback approach works and how you know the planes are coming and going and just kind of how that whole system works?
That's a great question. We do not have a control tower here. And we have an extremely active airport. We have 130 students in our flight school. We have 18 aircraft between our flight school and our flight club. And on any given weekend, we could have 100 transient planes coming through here. All of that is done by communicating over radio to each other. So it's who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. And throughout the day, I'll have a radio on me, and it's just constant chatter of who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. Razorback approach is extremely helpful. You can be on the ground in an aircraft and say you want to fly to Little Rock. You can call them up on the ground and say, I want to go to Little Rock, and they'll do flight following. So they'll keep an eye on you and an eye on other aircraft and, you know, give you headings to avoid any, you know, potential obstacles that you may have. But it's a very, very busy airspace, but it's very well controlled.
You've got some a new group of students out there from Bentonville School District as well, right, with the Ignite program?
Yeah, the Ignite program is amazing and has a great vision. I'm not sure how many students they have, but it's a unique program where they have to apply and have interviews to get into these programs. And this past year was their first year, and they purchased Redbird simulators, which are fantastic flight simulators that you can actually log time on. They started up a drone operation. They all successfully got their Part 107 certificate, and I know some of them are out in the field right now doing work with those drones. So great program.
Will, it's Mike again. Another question. Would you talk about how security is handled at the airport? Brian Baldwin had mentioned, you know, it's not your typical airport where you're going to see, you know, 8-foot chain link fence around the whole airport. Would you talk about how you make the airport more inviting for just maybe the general person who may want to come in and maybe have lunch? There's not a, you don't really go through a security a check. There's, you know, there's low barrier. I mean, there is, of course, there's security at the airport. There's low barriers. It's very inviting when you come in. Can you discuss how you have to have security, but you don't want it to be overbearing?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't have 8-foot tall barbed wire fences. We want this to be an inviting place. And it really is. There's no TSA. You come out here with your kids, and I guarantee if they're pressed up against the glass, one of our staff's going to ask if they want to go sit in one of our flight school airplanes. With that, you know, there are fences around the majority of the airport. Historically, we haven't had any problems. We do have Robin and Maverick that patrol the airport every day, along with their goose duties, but they're very active patrolling the airport just to make sure that nobody gets on the airport that shouldn't be here.
I want to ask about one thing. It's been referenced a couple times. Fly Oz. Can either you, Mike, or Will talk about that?
Yeah, Fly Oz was designed to showcase the Ozarks and allow the field house to be a gateway to adventure. Within Fly Oz, there's a series of airstrips. I don't know the exact number, but let's say 60 within 60 miles of Bentonville. And unlike some of the backcountry airstrips in the West, you can hop out of Bentonville and explore, 10 or 20 of these strips in a day that have pilot structures, spots to hang out, to camp, that are on rivers like the Kings, the Mulberry, on Beaver Lake. So it's an opportunity to get out and explore the Ozarks via an aircraft, and also with the staff, the Fly Oz are super knowledgeable people that have not gone into these grass strips, and these aren't in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. This is for folks that maybe have a Cessna 182 and they've run out of places to fly, and now they have this big playground in their backyard to go explore.
Mike, did you have any more questions for Will?
I do not. I think I've covered it. I appreciate it.
Well, Will, thanks very much, both you and Mike, for joining us on the podcast this morning. I really appreciate your time and your expertise on sharing your perspective, and it's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all's time, and if anybody hasn't been out here to the field house, come on out, bring your family in, and we'll show you around.
You want to read about the Bentonville Airport? Catch Mike Jones' story in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette this weekend or online at nwaonline.com. Before I sign off, I want to tell you about some of the other great stories we have coming your way this weekend. In Fayetteville, the Zion Road Improvement Project is more than a year behind, and some neighborhood residents are growing weary of it. Our Fayetteville reporter, Stacy Ryburn, has that story. Stacy also has a story on a bill pending in the state legislature that would undo Fayetteville's ordinance banning the retail sale of cats and dogs. Meanwhile, the city is being sued by Petland over that ordinance. Bentonville is gearing up for its 13th annual half marathon, set for April 1st. And organizers say this year, the event could see more runners than ever. Mike Jones will have a story previewing the race. And in Springdale, residents will be voting May 9th on a $310 million bond issue. Reporter Lorinda Jenks, in the first part of a five-part series on the bond issue, explores what improvements could be made to city parks if the proposal passes. You also want to check out our River Valley coverage on Sunday. The Air Force may have decided to place its foreign military sales program in Fort Smith, but there's still plenty of work to do before the new military members and their families get to town. Monica Brick will have that story. Plus, Thomas Asente will tell us how some Sebastian County residents received an unexpected, unpleasant surprise in their solid waste services bill recently. And don't forget our extensive entertainment coverage. In this Sunday's What's Up section, April Walls tells us about the new exhibit at Crystal Bridges Museum featuring the work of 20th century artist Diego Rivera. And Monica Huber has the details on Aurora's Wedding, a ballet coming to Bentonville next weekend. All of this and more is available to our subscribers on our tablet and cell phone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleygazette.com. Those of you already are subscribing, thank you for your support of local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. Or call us at 479-684-5509. And that website again is nwaonline.com/podcast23. Check back with us next Friday for a new edition of the Know the News podcast. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Dave Porozik, your podcast host this week. Have a great weekend, and until next Friday, so long.